So much then is clear. But a question arises. The FWBO, as we saw last week, is a Western spiritual movement, a Western spiritual phenomenon. It seeks to practice Buddhism under the conditions of modern Western civilization. Secularized, industrialized civilization. But historically speaking, at least, Buddhism is an Eastern religion. It originated in the East. It originated in India. And for 2,500 years, it's been virtually confined to the East. It's only quite recently, in the course of the last 100 years, in fact, that it has become known in the West at all. So what is the relation between Western Buddhists and Eastern Buddhism? This is the question that arises, the question of Western Buddhists and Eastern Buddhism, which of course is the title of our talk tonight. Now, before going into this, I want to go back just a little bit. I want to go back and deal with a question that might possibly have arisen in the minds of some of you. I might almost say it ought to have arisen. Buddhism, we've seen, is whatever contributes to the development of the individual. But is Buddhism confined? One might wonder. Is Buddhism confined to what is labeled Buddhism, so to speak? Could we not say that whatever contributes to the development of the individual is, in fact, Buddhism? Or at least part of Buddhism? Could we not say that? Well, in this connection, I want to say just two things by way, so to speak, of illustration. There are some people in the FWBO, especially in England, who get a great deal of inspiration as Buddhists from certain Western poets and philosophers and so on. An inspiration which in fact helps them in their spiritual life as Buddhists. Perhaps I can mention a few of these poets and philosophers, some of the more popular ones among our friends in England. There's first of all Goethe, then there's Blake, there's Schopenhauer, there's Nietzsche, there's Plato, there's D.H. Lawrence, and there's Shelley. Quite a miscellaneous collection, you might think. Other people, other friends, get inspiration from Western classical music, especially from Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart. And this is quite in order, and one can count such inspiration certainly as part of Buddhism in the wider sense. I'm not, of course, saying that people like Goethe, Blake, and so on, great as they were as enlightened as the Buddha was. I'm not saying that their poetry or their philosophy can take us as far as Buddhism can, as the Dharma can, that is to say, Buddhism, the Dharma, in as it were the narrower sense. But at present, we have to recognize that most people in the FWBO certainly are still at a quite elementary stage in their spiritual life, and they need the help which is appropriate to this stage. And perhaps in this connection I can quote the well-known words of Gampopa, the great Tibetan mystic. He says, "The greatest benefactor is a spiritual friend in the form of an ordinary human being." That is to say, ordinary compared with the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. And even Goethe and Blake were ordinary by that standard. Secondly, regardless of the inspiration one may get from these other sources, the principal source of inspiration for the FWBO is nonetheless the Buddha and his teachings. Because that is where we get our idea of what constitutes development from. That is where we get our ideal of human enlightenment, about which I spoke in the course of my last visit to New Zealand, to Auckland, in fact, some 4 years ago. So whatever help we get from other sources must be in accordance with that, in harmony with that, and must lead us in that direction, in the direction of human enlightenment. And this is why we call ourselves friends of the Western Buddhist order rather than something else.